Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Hello and welcome aboard Gallant and George on Thursday, January 9th, 2025. I am Paul Gallant. He is Joe George. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. Busy night in sports tonight. First off, the college football playoff Final Four kicks off in Miami, where you've got Penn State, Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl. Notre Dame, 1-point favorites. You got a huge game tonight for your Houston Rockets for Southwestern Division supremacy against the 3-seed Memphis Grizzlies. The Rockets are the 2. They're 1.5-point favorites tonight. Both those lines courtesy of mybookie.ag. But we're still focusing on the big game on Saturday. A game with which, Joe, I am feeling slightly better about.
Oh.
Than I was on Monday. Well, I mean, it was at rock bottom.
Yeah, so you don't sound much better.
Yeah. I think the more and more I look at the Chargers, the more and more I realize, okay, they're 11-6. They're the 5-seed. They play in a tougher division than the Texans, given both the Chiefs and Broncos made the playoffs. But this is a game they can win. I just don't know if the Texans match up particularly well with the Chargers after doing a lot of diving in last night and this morning.
Yeah, I'm curious what you found, because I feel like what the biggest thing I learned was they're not going to give it to you. I mean, this is a...
Ooh, what does that mean?
They are disciplined. They are they have less than 100 penalties on the season. They're the fourth lowest penalized team in the NFL this year.
You're going to have to take them on a few dates.
You have the best red zone defense in the NFL. They only allow 45% conversion, so they're the best in the NFL at that. I know we all know the Justin Herbert interception numbers are extremely low.
Second lowest all time for a quarterback with yeah. 500 or more passes.
So they're not going to give it to you. Like you're going to have to earn this win. Like, they are not going to make, think back to last year, Cleveland, 2 pick-sixes. Like, I don't think the Texans can win, expect anything of like that on Saturday. It's a challenge. It's a good matchup for the Texans. The Chargers, I feel, maybe they're better than I thought they were. I know they have 11 wins, but like looking through everything, I was like, wow, this is a...
Well, that makes it a bad matchup for the Texans then. And I don't think it's a good matchup for the Texans. I don't think that they're going to match up with a couple of things that the Chargers do pretty well. The Chargers are pretty good at getting Justin Herbert on the move. They stink against quarterbacks who scoot. They are the third worst defense in the league against mobile quarterbacks, whether they're taking off scrambling or on designed runs. Lamar Jackson obviously affected that, but we saw Josh Allen break away a couple of times. And on top of that, I look at the Texans defensively, and while I like the pass rush, I look at Herbert as a guy who doesn't turn the football over, and I also look at the Chargers as a team who get a lot of big plays. So I feel like they're on level footing, but it's a bad matchup.
Yeah, that's fair. I think the Chargers are like what the Texans aspire to be, like in a lot of ways. Like they're
How? Very
well. I think they're like they have the big plays that they have down the field. The Texans want to have those things. They don't have it. They want to have a quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over very much. They don't have that. They're pretty equal running the ball, I would say, offensively. Like, really, the Chargers and the Texans didn't do a ton this year. J.K. Dobbins has some good moments, but like, he's not been, you know, you're not facing Saquon Barkley this weekend, right? So I think the Texans would love to do what the Chargers are doing. Look, the Chargers can get after you without having to bring a lot of pressure because of what their, you know, their defensive line gets. So Texans can hopefully do the same, but I just don't know what to expect on Saturday in terms of like the style of game. Like, I don't know if this is going to be a total rock fight and it's going to be like 13-6, or if we're going to see some explosion in this game.
I do think it's likely to be a rock fight. I think that the defenses for both of these teams are their strengths. the Texans because of what they have in their front seven, which is about as healthy as it's been all year. They're not going to have their nickel guy in Jalen Petrie, but they will at the very least have just about all their defensive linemen, just about all of their linebackers. But, you know, I look at the Chargers, and this is a team that, yeah, they don't blitz much, but when they blitz, they're very good. And this team is so bad at picking up confusing pass rushes. They really do it with the bunch of outside linebackers that they rotate in and out. You know, Khalil Mack and Bud Dupree are there, but they're not the guys that you might have remembered them, whether it was Mack when he actually got into the NFL or Dupree when he came out of college. And this other guy that they brought in, whose name I'm 100% going to butcher, but second rounder last year, Tule Tuipulotu, has 8.5 sacks this year, is all over the field. And I feel like if you look at the Texans offensive line, you're praying that they're going to be able to keep C.J. Stroud upright. And even if they can, then it's a matter of, is Stroud actually going to be able to stand in there and look differently than he's looked all year long?
Yeah, like there are the, is the kind of time off from not really playing last week. Maybe he really does feel more comfortable in front of this offensive line. Does the feeling, you know, the pressure that's not there, does that go away in a short amount of time? I hope so.
No, it won't. I mean, like,
that's
yeah.
That's like that. That's the next season thing that gets fixed.
They want to tell us that, and we'll play some of what Bobby Slowick had to say yesterday. I wish, much like they've seemingly muzzled Tim Settle, they muzzled Bobby Slowick. I just don't want to hear him talk. But when you look at where they're at right now, I do think they can win this game. I just think it's not the best matchup, and we'll dive further into what the Chargers do. I think if you talk about the Los Angeles Chargers, even though they have changed locations, all conversations about the Chargers, who have the best uniforms in football, and on top of that, have the coolest fight song in football, yet you have to start with the fight song. It's so hot. Hell yeah. Get some. Oh, yeah. Here it comes, baby.
San Diego, Superchargers. San Diego,
Chargers.
San Diego, Superchargers. San Diego,
Chargers.
Hell yeah. This is a team named after a credit card.
The time has come. You know we're shooting for number one.
What they're doing.
With thunderbolts and lightning, we'll light up the sky. We'll give it all we got and more with the Supercharger drive.
Here it comes, baby. I mean, they never should have left. They never should have left entirely because of that song.
Do they use it still? Like, have they redone it?
No, they don't want to flick off the fine people of San Diego.
I mean, it really starts off like a cheesy, like, television sitcom.
Oh, go to hell.
And then they start singing and it gets great.
There is not an inch of that song that is cheesy.
No, the start of it is.
No, it's not. Yes. You're an uncultured slob.
No.
What, cheesy 80s sitcom? Yeah. First off, that doesn't exist. That's like the prime television. That's the TV that you think you're watching when you're watching this god-awful network TV that you watch. That is the TV that you actually should be watching.
It's a disco song, like, that's like, it'd be like Three's Company all of a sudden.
Three's Company? How is it Three's Company?
It's very disco-y. I mean, it's a great song. They need to redo it. They can change Los Angeles and San Diego.
Los Angeles. You could do that.
Yeah, change it.
Yeah. But
keep some of your identity.
They should have never left. I mean, all their fans are still in San Diego. No one jumped on. And look, Justin Herbert's looking for his first playoff win. A lot of pressure on him. Jim Harbaugh's the head coach. You know all about Jim Harbaugh. There haven't been any money quotes from Jim Harbaugh this week, but this is Justin Herbert talking about the moment where he knew that Jim Harbaugh was different.
When's the first time, maybe during off-season workouts or something that Jim said, where you were like, this guy's definitely different?
I think when he talked about remembering the day that he was born was probably the first day that he kind of told us the whole story and how he remembered looking out the window, and I think it was a cold, snowy day. I really hope he does remember that. That'd be pretty cool.
I believe him, but Joe over here, he's a birthing truther. You know?
I am.
He wants to know, like, what was the log from Jim Harbaugh as a minute-old infant? Like, did he write it down? Emerging from his mother's hoo-ha.
Yeah, stick to the bit, Jim. Be you and your milk and your khaki pants and remembering your birth.
There's so much bitterness, you know, like towards Jim Harbaugh. Why? Because Michigan kept on touching Notre Dame. Like, what's it all about?
He's a Super Bowl champion for the Bears, isn't he? Or he was on the Bears after they won the Super Bowl.
After,
I can't remember if he was after.
He played in like the 90s.
Yeah.
Like he's a Bears quarterback. I don't hate Jim Harbaugh. I'm jealous of Jim Harbaugh.
I don't know because
I have Jim Harbaugh envy. I just don't believe like that he remembers his birth.
Do you think that's why he likes milk so much? He remembers the good times.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
All he had was milk.
Sean put it all together.
That's a good counterpoint. I can't really argue with that, honestly.
I got to say the Twitch is right, Joe. I can't believe you're not wearing a Notre Dame hat today. This is a big game for your school that you root for.
Yeah, busy morning. Walked out of the house without it.
But you walked out with a Texans hat on.
Actually, I walked out for the first time in like forever without a hat on.
Oh.
So I grabbed the hat that was in my car.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah, because I don't want to blind the Twitchers with, you know, the light bouncing off the baldness of my head.
You've got a little bit up there.
I do. There's just a giant, like, circle spot in the middle that, like, might reflect right into the camera.
I don't think that's going to be a problem. I think that deep down, because apparently some Notre Dame players have the mud butt.
They do.
I think that you are a little concerned about the Golden Domers, and you don't want people to know that you're a Notre Dame fan when they lose to Penn State tonight.
Yeah, I just saw that. Like, half the team, like, a bunch of the team is sick.
They're all, like, the backups, I guess.
Backups and special teams?
Something like that, yeah.
So the kicker's just going to be, like, pooping his pants while he's out there?
I think it's the backup offensive lineman.
Oh, great.
Now, I don't know if they were, you know, if things spread around because of some Northwestern-style Shrek shenanigans in the locker room or something like that. You know, a little poo play or something. But whatever the case.
Yeah, no, I'm not worried. I just made a mistake this morning.
Joe, that's a bad day to make a mistake.
I know it is.
This is a college football playoff game Notre Dame actually can win.
I know. It's embarrassing. At least I did wear it last week to defend myself.
Yeah, but I mean, this
and
is
I wore
the week
it
to wear it.
He had an extra day to remember.
Yeah, I just forgot.
Damn, dude. What if Notre Dame forgets to show up tonight?
Yeah, this could be the last game of Notre Dame season.
And we'll blame you.
Nothing to
well, then it's
to
like
celebrate.
A normal Notre Dame year. Get to the Final Four and not show up. Isn't that what they normally do?
Yeah, but you wouldn't have today.
They did make it, though.
They did make it.
They earned their way in.
They won a playoff game. They won two playoff games.
Although it would have been given to them.
But yeah. Still. But, you know. Yeah, I know. Big mistake. My bad.
You want to chime in, you can. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. Just how good are these 11-6 5-seed Chargers? So that's on the table. Also, given the ramblings of someone who's always a great quote, I'm curious as to what Houston things need to be renamed. Like something that's very close to us that is on the verge of being renamed. Stick around, Galan and Georgie, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9, HD2. Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Galant and Joe George.
Texans Chargers Saturday. Texans 3-point home dogs. Tonight, Notre Dame 1-point favorite for mybookie.ag, promo code BET975 against Penn State. Some comments, because Joe's not wearing a Notre Dame hat, but he is a Notre Dame fan. River to the Sea says JG is a horrible Notre Dame fan. Junior Bronco says he's more than a T-shirt fan. River to the Sea continues by saying, that you've done a bad job of defending the team this year. And I feel the same way as you, man. That's something you got to have laid out. Like, I'm not accepting excuses.
No, I'm not.
I was a father. Oh, I forgot.
My bad. I made a mistake. It's on me. I take accountability for my actions, unlike others. Bobby Slowick.
Ouch.
Wow. Well, nice deflection. At least it wasn't that Blair Henley this time.
Yeah, I don't even know if he's on the team anymore, so I feel like they caught him.
To be fair, you can't say that Joe is a t-shirt fan because he's not even wearing a t-shirt.
Ooh, damn.
Not even wearing the t-shirt.
Touche.
You're wearing black. In navy blue, that's, I think, closer to Penn State Navy than it is Notre Dame Navy.
We're just ready for this Rockets game tonight.
Dressing for Notre Dame's funeral?
Ooh, he is wearing Penn State's. To be fair, he is wearing a Rockets pullover with a very small Rockets logo.
Yeah, you're focused on what Paul called the battle for the Southwest division.
Big game,
yeah,
big game.
Yeah.
You get literally nothing for winning the division.
All we care about tonight is Amen Thompson. Oh, and Jeremiah, I love it, Notre Dame.
It is pretty funny just how little people are paying attention to the NBA, where the Rockets are the 2 seed in the West. They're playing for first place in the Southwest Division tonight. And there was a game between two 30-win teams last night, one of which was in the midst of a 10-game winning streak, the other in the midst of a 15-game winning streak, and no one cared. No one cared!
Yeah, I thought especially here locally, like as the Texans season was kind of unraveling, that the Rockets would pick back up. The attendance has been pretty good. Like, the people going to the game.
Yeah.
But the overall, like, excitement is still not there.
Well, I would say for Rockets, the Rockets themselves, I think there's a little bit of excitement. But I think this is more just a reflection of no one cares, if you're a casual sports fan, about the NBA this time of year. I mean, that was a great game last night. You had the 32-4 Cavs and the 30-6 Thunder. That's a hell of a game.
As much as we're like, why'd they only talk about L.A. and New York and Miami on these shows? It's like, I tell you, if it was the Lakers that were 30-5 and the Knicks that were
Celtics
30-4,
right.
Just Celtics. I mean, Celtics are up there. They're not that good, but I feel like the Celtics get taken more seriously than the Cavs, including by myself.
Yes,
but
by me too.
Because they won last year. But that is where the, like, yeah, give the small guys a chance, and then you give the small guys a chance. And America's like, yeah, we're good. We've watched enough Cleveland Cavaliers basketball for our entire lives, thanks to LeBron.
Yep.
I think we're good. We'll sit this one. In January, we'll sit this one out.
Donovan Mitchell. Remember when the Rockets almost got him?
Mm.
I do, too. That's the extent of my care about the Cavs.
Stunk it up last night.
Mm.
Not actually, but still.
So, Donald Trump is about to be the president of the United States again. And he is delivering zinger after zinger. The most recent one, and I love this one. And listen, I think this applies to all of us, apolitically. He plans to rename the Gulf of Mexico. Here he is. Is he riffing? Is this an actual plan? You never know. It's always fun to at least sit back and behold. Here is the president-elect.
Changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, which has a beautiful ring that covers a lot of territory. The Gulf of America, what a beautiful name. And it's appropriate. It's appropriate.
I love it.
I'm fine with it.
The Gulf of America. Well,
it sounds way better.
I got to be honest. Like, why haven't we done this already?
First of all, I didn't know we could. I didn't know this was an option.
You can rename anything.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I'm like, this is the easiest thing to do.
Yeah.
You just start calling it. Start printing maps with it called Gulf of America. Like, it's not like it has a birth certificate.
Our maps going to say Gulf of America, then like the rest of the world's going to say Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
Okay.
Other countries call themselves different things. We call them Germany. They're like Deutschland. And you got Italia, Italy, Roma, Rome. Like, we can just call it whatever.
No lie. You know, I'm starting to get a little nationalist, which is probably not good. But hey, like, we might take Greenland and also renaming the Gulf of Mexico. The Gulf of America. Hell yeah. The president of Mexico, Claudia Sheinbaum, said it should be renamed America Mexicana or Mexican America, and that the Gulf of Mexico has been this since 1607. Spain sucks, and you have no power, lady.
I think I like our chances of getting this called Gulf of America, because she's already trying to negotiate.
Yeah.
We're already winning.
Yeah.
They're meeting us halfway already.
Greg Abbott, governor of Texas, said call it Gulf of Texas. So I saw this story And it got me thinking, what are things in Houston that should be renamed? And I'm just going to go first. I hate Westheimer. I hate it with a passion.
Yeah.
My car has been hit and run multiple times on that godforsaken street. And I associate it because of the constant belligerence and unprovoked aggression. I think of the Nazis. And oh, wow, Heimer? Okay, let's rename Westheimer. I don't care what we rename it. You can call it anything. We could call it West Huge Street. What? For real. I don't care. But I don't want this to be Westheimer anymore.
I'm for that. I think whatever you call it, though, it can't be a cool name. Like, I think it has
Okay.
I think it has to signal how terrible it is.
I was thinking Fury Road. I think you just call
it. That was the okay. Like,
I like that.
Yeah.
You just call it something that encapsulates what it's like
that,
to drive
that works.
There.
Yeah, I think that works. I'm fine with Fury Road. How do we get this started?
Write a letter
petition?
To someone? Yeah. Who's our, I don't know, city council
no
person?
Idea.
We could ask Lena. She might be on leave again. But yeah, I'm curious. Like, how do we change the name? Some people are saying, hey, Paul, you deserved it. You're Yankee. That's what they're doing on Westheimer. No, these people are all high and on drugs or drunk. Like, this is the person who hit and ran me was on drugs. He was like leaning all the way back in his back seat, and he fled on foot from a Chili's where he parked his car. His car was also wanted for another hit and run.
Triple dipper.
Right. I hope he got some food.
I said, did he stop on the way in?
Before he got taken into jail. Like, I would hope so. But other things in Houston that should be renamed. River to the Sea is suggesting Kuykendall Road, which, yeah, that is I'm not even sure if I got it right.
Kirkendall?
Is it Kirkendall? Kirkendall, right?
It's Kirkendall.
Kirkendall, right. Yeah. Whenever I see it, I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah. We could clean that up.
It
we
is.
Can Americanize
at
that.
Least just like change the spelling.
Yeah, we make it phonetically correct.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to call it that, like, you got to
make
it one and the same. Either call it Kuykendall or Kirkendall or respell it in Kirkendall.
I don't like Kuykendall, I'll be honest. It's like the Dyken Park of of names. I feel uncomfortable saying
how do we
it.
Feel about Dyken Park?
Yeah, the Nazis would like that one. Like, yeah, I hate it. I hate it, too. Again, like, that's all the Germans ruin everything. Sorry, Germans, if you're out there. But, you know, World War I, World War II, you got, well, ended in 1945. You know, you kind of start all this one. You got about, like, 12, 16 years before we can, like, kind of turn the page. But, you know, 100-year probation. That's how it goes.
The Texans?
Thank you for bringing this up.
It's a terrible
I wanted to get to
it's
it later.
It's a terrible, terrible team
name. You're wearing the hat, though.
I like the logo, but it's a terrible team name. If you can change anything in Houston, that's number one on my list.
It sticks out like a sore thumb, as far as names go. The Houston Texans.
I've long suggested, and listen, we are a city with a majority Hispanic population. I've suggested this multiple times. I think it would be appropriate. This way we can call the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. How about trade with Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum, the Houston Mexicans?
All right. Why not?
Why not? We get a little green and red?
Oh.
Christmas colors?
Oh, ooh. Now they'll play on Christmas every year.
Oh, wait. Hang on.
Christmas branding is here. Yeah. That's what we need.
There's a very good one in the Twitch. I think multiple people have suggested this. Bissonette to Busta. Well, that's where all the hookers are, apparently. Ladies of the Night, my bad. Don't say that. You'll get in trouble.
Yeah, I feel like we'll be okay.
I got in trouble in Seattle for assuming that the hookers outside of a Chick-fil-A were hookers. People got very mad at me. They said, why are you eating at Chick-fil-A, first of all? I was like, because it's good. But I think they were like, well, do you hate gay people because you ate a Chick-fil-A? Second, they were like, how dare you assume like their jobs? And I was like, well, I don't know. It's 40 degrees outside, and I can see this lady's thong. So I think I know what they are. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Like, go do you. It's illegal, though.
But even like if you – I just don't know why you would get in trouble for that. What an odd station you worked for, Paul.
It wasn't the station. It was the city. That was the city.
Oh, the city got mad.
This is after. This is after I was gone. And they're like, well, no wonder you didn't work out here. What? I eat at Chick-fil-A? Like that's why I got fired.
Reason.
Like, go kill yourself.
Now, like for like the you know, love DJ, but for DJ at Bienname, he was so loudly like Houston barbecue sucks. I feel like that was a bad play.
When did he say that? Wait, what?
On his way to Kansas City, just trashing Houston barbecue all over Twitter.
Yeah, brisket's better than pork. Like that's what it's all about.
Totally agree.
Things you should rename: Dallas Street from the 832. Yeah, anything but Dallas Street. Yep. I like that one. What else do we have here? Robert E. Lee College. Yeah, that
probably.
Why not Sam Houston? Oh wait, there's already a Sam Houston State. But could you do Sam Houston College too? Just like go all in on Sam Houston.
Confusing. Yeah, that'd be. You wouldn't even know where
We could work our way down. We could do William Travis. We could do. There's other Texas revolutionary figures. Jim Bowie. Jim Bowie College.
Jim Bowie College. Yeah, that
I was surprised Robert E. Lee College still exists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of places that change their names and then change their names back.
Ah,
yeah,
that makes sense.
There's a high school. In Tyler, when I went to school there, that I drove past like every day for a year, called the Robert E. Lee Red Raiders. I was like, whoo, y'all are going for something.
They're going for two things.
Yeah.
Two birds with one stone.
Double barrel.
I'm assuming that the Texas Tech Red Raiders weren't originally cowboys wearing masks. I'm assuming. Could be wrong. Does make sense, you know, Western Texas, the Comanches, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Texas Tech Comanches would be a good nickname. But anyway, things are getting renamed across the country. It seems like the Gulf of Mexico might be the Gulf of America. You got more suggestions for what we could rename Houston area things, whether they be streets, teams, etc. Have at it at 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Joe's on Twitter at Joe George Radio. Sean's on Twitter at Sean A. Mapes. I'm on Twitter at Gallant Says. Coming up next, you want to weigh in on a Texans with a Texans Chargers take? You can. Also, no matter what happens Saturday between the Texans and Chargers, know this: they are in no danger of being supplanted in the AFC South. You'll hear all the messiness of that god-awful division next. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975. Two big games tonight. Do a little quadruple action on a no-risk Thursday. Why not? You bet at MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975. On a Thursday, you don't get it, your money comes back. So maybe you want to bet on the Rockets tonight on the road against Memphis. They won five in a row on the road. No Tari Eason, though, tonight. He is doubtful. They're 1.5-point favorites. The over-under for this game, 234. There's a part of me that wants to take the under, mainly because I look at Memphis and I just assume grit and grind, even though that team is like years in the past. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the Rockets. I'm going to take the under. And with Notre Dame, Penn State tonight, Notre Dame 1-point favorites. Since Joe's not wearing his hat, I'm taking the Nittany Lions. I don't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. I hate that school. Someone from that school pulled a switchblade on me once. True story. And Joe didn't wear the Notre Dame hat, so I have no choice but to pick him. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
ESPN. 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Sounds like the Gulf of Mexico is going to be the Gulf of America. With that in mind, we're saying, hey, think about things around town that you think need to be renamed, and rename them. Westheimer, done. Kirkendale, done, because it's too difficult to pronounce. Someone suggested this on the text line. They should sell the naming rights to the Gulf of Crypto.com, the Gulf of Daikin. Yeah, the air conditioning company where the Mariners now play. Or excuse me, the Astros. God, why did I say Mariners?
Honestly,
that's a slip up.
Maybe Daikin Park. Can we rename that already?
Yeah, I already wanted
Bucky's Park. And you could have had Beaver Nuggets in the train.
Nah, they're not that good, though.
They're not, but this is what people talk about all the time.
The Beaver Nuggets?
That's not what I go to Bucky's for.
Yeah, I get that they got the Beaver and all, but...
You don't like the Beaver?
No, I mean, I'm not eating Beaver, so... No, not like that. I mean, that's not... Yeah. They're not...
Right. Cut that.
It's not chunks of Beaver. It's not like a, you know, the little rodent chopped up into bits. So
it's true.
I think it's misleading.
Do we think that Beavers would taste good?
No, it's a rat.
Yeah. I mean,
probably fat, heavy, so maybe a little bit better than a rat or a squirrel.
Like Xavier Leggett or whatever, and these guys are all talking about eating raccoon.
Yeah. I bet it's not that different from what
like
Jerry Jones likes squirrel brains and squirrels.
Yeah.
Fight over the squirrels.
I would guess a beaver. I'm going to just guess beaver better than raccoon. Just a guess.
I think you're profiling there. I think you're taking.
I think you are.
That's what you think of the animals.
It's
themselves.
Pretty racist.
Maybe.
It has nothing to do with how they taste.
You're right.
Just because raccoons probably have a lot of trash in their diet. Beavers probably have like a little wood taste to them, given the amount of wood they're chewing.
A little smokiness.
On. Yeah.
Mesquite.
Yeah.
Are they chewing on mesquite? Little...
Yeah, like when you. When you grill them up, that smoky flavor just originates.
This is a fun combo. So you want to weigh in on that, you can. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You could also chime in on whether it's Texans Chargers, the Rockets and Grizzlies tonight, or Notre Dame and Penn State. We got River calling in. He is a Notre Dame fan. I don't know if he's trying to defend Joe here because Joe forgot to wear his Notre Dame hat today, supposedly a Notre Dame fan. River, what you got?
How you doing, guys?
Yo. Is that the fight song?
Yeah.
Okay. Run, come on, Joe, join in.
No, you sing it first, and then I'll join you.
Yeah, you got to sing it. River, you got to sing
it. Yo, you got to show some bravado here. You got to be like,
you're the one playing it, River!
Notre Dame has returned to national... relevant.
Notre Dame's
going
to win tonight,
where,
River. It's okay.
Confident?
Notre Dame's going to win tonight. I'm fully confident Notre Dame's going to win tonight.
It's so funny hearing these two fans.
As long as Riley Leonard doesn't have the poos, I think they're going to be okay tonight.
These two.
Now, I may not have the same confidence next week, but when we face Ohio, if we face Ohio State.
You said if there. Like neither of you have bravado, and this is just the signs of like a downtrodden fan base. So cocky, so arrogant back in the 90s, and here you two are. Joe's too afraid to wear his hat today to work, and River comes in, but he doesn't even want to sing. Joe doesn't probably even know the fight song.
I still haven't learned it yet.
Unbelievable. Joe, it's Notre Dame. Like, there's so much history. You probably can't even recite Newt Rockne's speech by heart.
No, cannot.
Unbelievable.
No, cannot.
You are, like, everyone hates on T-shirt Texas fans.
I also don't like Rudy. I'll just go ahead and put that out there.
Unbelievable.
Like, I'll just throw it in there, into the pile.
No, you're out. You're out.
No, I did like the movie at first until I met Rudy, and he was kind of a jerk. So
I was going to ask, do you not like the movie or the man?
Right? Yeah, I wasn't a big fan when I met him at Radio Row. Like,
why not?
That seems like a common.
He's a fighting Irish legend.
He's kind of a jerk.
Okay.
And then I met your Lord and Savior, mm-hmm. like 5 minutes later, in his cutoff, you know, white hoodie, Tim Tebow, and I was like in awe.
Well, hang on, Tim Tebow's the son, and Tom Brady's the father.
Yeah.
So actually, I guess that would make him my savior.
Yeah.
Lord, I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's you're right. Yeah, your savior, Tim Tebow. Know? But yeah, I went from Rudy to Tim Tebow, and I was like, this Rudy guy kind of sucks.
Damn, this is the worst Golden Domer of all time.
I know.
You.
I know.
Like, how did you steal the stolen valor?
Probably is. Probably is still.
Probably
valor.
No. It is.
I went to an art school. What do you want me to do?
Learn the fight song.
And the first college I went to, I watched their rival like kick ass this weekend. It was not fun.
Okay. Oh, the D3.
Yeah, the D3. Yeah.
Like Northwestern State.
Yeah, North Central. Their North rival Central, was the yeah. first college that I went to. So.
While we're talking about this game, did anyone hear James Franklin throwing a little shade at Notre Dame? James Franklin is the head coach of Penn State, for those who don't know, and he does not want this to be interpreted as Notre Dame shade, but here he is suggesting that perhaps Notre Dame is getting away with it by making it all the way into the college football playoff.
And it's about Notre Dame.
Waiting for it to pull up.
And college football. And the Orange Bowl. You know, I think there's been conversations about, you know, obviously you talk about just the differences between our two programs and conferences. I think it should be consistent across college football. I think, again, this is no knock at Coach or Notre Dame, but I think everybody should be in a conference. I think everybody should play a conference championship game, or no one should play a conference championship game. I think everybody should play the same number of conference games. I was a head coach in the SEC. I've been a head coach in the Big Ten. I was in the SEC when the whole conversation was whether to go to 8 or 9 conference games. We voted, all the coaches voted against going to 9 games. The commissioner agreed and kept it at 8. I think it was one of the better decisions as SEC made. The Big Ten went to 9 games. And, you know, I was not a math major at East Stroudsburg, but just the numbers are going to make things more challenging if you're playing one more conference game. So I just think things need to be consistent across college football. I think
that's James Franklin. Is that a shot at Notre Dame?
I think it's a bigger picture conversation with a little shot at Notre Dame in there, that Notre Dame should be in a conference, because I think a lot of people feel that. A lot of people are jealous of Notre Dame. That last week,
there it is.
No, look, last week the Big Ten collected a $30 million check for Ohio State and Penn State advancing, the entire conference. So Notre Dame collected a $15 million check to advance to the Final Four themselves. That's what people are jealous of. Like the fact that you go to a certain point in the playoff, you get the revenue distribution, it goes to 18 teams in the Big Ten, and Notre Dame gets all of the money. So, I mean, this is an unpopular opinion amongst Notre Dame fans. Now, maybe they're going to change the playoff format after a year, and it won't matter. But when they put the bye system into place, I was pro Notre Dame joining a conference.
It's weird that they're in the ACC, but they're not.
But like, they're, you know,
because they play an ACC schedule, but they're not in the ACC.
Yeah.
They are in the ACC for everything that's not football, but in football, they're not in it.
But like, it's starting to become, I don't know if it's going to become more popular, but like Northern Illinois just did that. They left the MAC in football. They stayed in the MAC in everything. But now Northern Illinois football
is in the Mountain West, right?
Is in part of the Mountain West Conference. So strange. Like, so strange that happens. And obviously, like, it trickles down. Like, I don't really care about the Olympic sports because that stuff's all super weird with D3 programs that are D1 and things like that.
Leah Thomas, too, right, yeah.
Like, I'm fine with Notre Dame joining a conference. If you want to put them in the ACC to win it every year, like, that's fine with me.
Okay.
And they went through the ACC this year. They'll do it again next year. And I agree.
I don't know. You gotta watch
when James Franklin and Penn State starts their season next year with Nevada, FIU, and Villanova, they should match Miami, Texas A&M, and Purdue, just like Notre Dame is doing.
Damn, there it is. See, now you're cocky Notre Dame again. There you go.
I'm just saying.
We got you back.
Notre Dame plays a team that made the college football playoffs next year.
James Franklin talking trash got you back in.
Gen T won't be there for Boise State, but they play Boise State next season. And look, I'm fine. If they want to go there, go there. But I do think for the bigger picture, he's totally right. There needs to be uniformity. Like, how they hire referees is a huge problem. Like, the full-time versus part-time referees, the amount of conference games that these schools play, everything. Hell, there should be the same amount of teams in every conference. Like, it all needs to change. It's all broken. And if they want to force Notre Dame to join the ACC, go for it.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean Mabes behind the glass. That game is tonight. Notre Dame, Penn State. Notre Dame 1-point favorites. I don't know what's going to happen Saturday between the Texans and Chargers. What I do know is that regardless of outcome, or as D'Amico Ryans might say, irregardless of outcome, the Houston Texans are going to be running the AFC South for quite some time. Let's hit the South Side!
Time to take a ride around the South Side of the AFC with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Doesn't matter, Brian. AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
Yeah, but you guys are back in the...
Doesn't matter what it looked like. Back in the playoffs. Looking forward to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Didn't mean to interrupt. D'Amico Ryans could do the exact same thing, theoretically.
I hope he does one day.
Maybe yeah.
Like, maybe like 3 years.
It's going to take him getting worn down by media that's frustrated with the good play, because that's where Bill O'Brien got to. But I mean, you know, Bill O'Brien's first 2 years, 9-7.
Mm-hmm.
D'Amico Ryans' first 2 years, 10-7.
Yeah.
That was year 3, Bill O'Brien, if I'm not mistaken.
I'll be, I don't ever listen to the Adam Schefter podcast, but
damn.
Billy O was on today. So I might hit that on the ride home, hear what Bill O'Brien's up to.
Over at Boston College. So taking a look at the AFC South, the Colts, I guess, are the closest team, but they decided to bring back head coach Shane Steichen. That makes sense. Bringing back Chris Ballard after 8 years, especially after it seemed, per reporting, that Ballard was out, is strange. So the only move the Colts have done over the last couple of days since the end of the season is fire defensive coordinator Gus Bradley, who gets passed around from team to team, bringing the same old cover three defense that any good quarterback can constantly rip apart. Okay, you get rid of him. Does that really show this roster that it's time to shape up? Because I saw DeForest Buckner say there's too much ego in the Colts locker room. A lot of individuals playing, no one really playing together.
Yeah, I mean, when that comes out a week after Chris Ballard has to, Shane Steichen has to admit that players are not showing up on time to meetings and things like that. They did a really good job covering up their dysfunction, but they are super dysfunctional, and I'm shocked that they're moving forward with everyone still. I know they're interviewing Lou Anarumo today, the fired Bengals DC, as potentially their replacement defensive coordinator. They're a mess. Like, I think they're, I know you said, like, technically they're the closest team, but because of their quarterback play, they still might be the farthest away from the Texans.
Oh, I don't think that.
Like, at least, like, the Titans are going to have Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward.
The Titans are a horrible organization. We'll get to them later. No, the Colts are leaps and bounds ahead of, right now, the Jaguars, who probably have a better quarterback, and the Titans. I think the Colts, at the very least, there are some talented players there. It's the buy-in that's the problem.
Yeah.
The Titans have nothing.
No, I just think the Colts, just, it feels like they're unraveling in a way that, as this continues to unravel over the offseason, potentially getting these guys out of there who are a problem, who don't want to practice, who don't want to work hard, don't want to show up on time. Like, the three of the worst teams in the NFL might be in the AFC South next year. Honestly. Again. Like, and two of them already are.
This is your God-given birthright now, you know?
Yeah.
Just like it was for the Patriots and the AFC East back in the day. That is what the AFC South is for the Texans. Shane Steichen seemed to open to the idea of Anthony Richardson being in a competition. He was asked about it. He was furiously nodding his head before saying that's a convo that Chris Ballard and I are going to have moving forward. Anthony Richardson says he isn't scared of a quarterback competition. Well, I mean, if there's a quarterback that's younger than Joe Flacco with any pulse, maybe that's a Justin Fields. Maybe that's a Russell Wilson if the Steelers move on. Like, there's
Rodgers?
Rodgers, theoretically. That would be so funny if Kirk Chris Cousins? Ballard goes back to the well with a Cousins or a Rodgers with an old-ass quarterback.
Yeah.
That really would be on brand for Chris Ballard. We'll see what happens. The Colts, I think, are the clear second-best team in the AFC. I think the next question is, like, who's better between the Jaguars and the Titans, both of whom have been very messy this week.
I definitely would lean Jaguars are the better team because the Titans, I mean, look, they've in the last 2 years, they fired GM, coach, GM, and now they have a coach again who seems like he's on the hot seat.
Yeah, so let's go to the Jaguars then, because I agree. I think the Jaguars are the third best team in the AFC South. They fired Doug Peterson, who has the third best record in Jaguars history.
That's so sad.
It is pretty sad. It's like Tom Coughlin. I think Marrone might have had some good moments, but honestly, now that I think about it, I feel like Marrone had some bad years at the end that maybe brought him back to earth. They requested, most recently, an interview with Brian Flores as their next head coach, someone that, per Ryan Fitzpatrick, is a bit of a dictator. They did not get rid of Trent Baalke, though, and everyone's wondering why, especially given the awkward nature of this moment. Shad Khan, owner of the Jaguars, did a Zoom meeting with Jaguars media. There is a two-shot in this Zoom call of Shad Khan and Trent Baalke sitting next to one another, and this awkward question got asked.
So I'd actually like to go back to John's first question, Shad, back to you. I know you noted that if this head coaching candidate was to say, hey, I think the medical needs to be reevaluated, the health and wellness, if they were to say, I would like to reevaluate the front office and the general manager, what would your response be?
My response would be, how would you improve it? And then if it is credible, you want to do it, okay?
So they might move on from him after all, if a coach comes in that doesn't like him.
I mean, I don't know, like, what an assistant coach knows about, like, hiring a GM besides, like, hiring his buddy. But if it gets them out of Trent Baalke, that's a win for the Jaguars. Whoever they hire, even if it's like Kellen Moore and he's just like, yeah, hire the assistant GM for the Eagles. Like, that's a win for that franchise. If it gets Trent Baalke out of there, I think what you said is probably right. I think it was yesterday where they're probably just really keeping him in place to continue to scout and move forward. But I don't know why anyone would want to work for this guy. I mean, he's fired five coaches in his last two jobs. Mm-hmm. Why would you want to work for this guy?
Yeah, especially when he continues to survive.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. I also think it's bizarre that Shad Khan sounds like that when he has the biggest mustache of all time.
Yeah.
You would think he would sound more like an evil genius or something like that. No, not quite. All right, so the absolute worst scenario in the AFC South, the Tennessee Titans, Brian Callahan at his end-of-season press conference said, I know I'm a good football coach, but 3-14 is embarrassing. Will Levis, I think, said at the end of that last game, I think I've done enough to show I belong in this league. They're going to explore every avenue at quarterback, but the person doing the most exploring will not be former general manager Rand Carthon, who was the subject of a hit piece. This is from Paul Kaharsky. Rand Carthon is a relationship-based guy. He sold that like crazy, and Amy Adams Strunk bought it until she didn't. It served him well at times, like when he got an extension with Jeffrey Simmons. But with others, it rang hollow and wasn't enough to fill in for missing ingredients. Backslapping and laughing it up with people who like you while fencing yourself off from anyone who doesn't buy into that as a magic formula for making things happen is not a route to success. That sounds like it's coming straight from Amy Adams Strunk.
Yeah.
His critics did not view him as a grinder. One reason, he left early from Will Levis's pro day in Lexington, Kentucky. The other reason, personnel people and scouts typically eat and dive into film of the game after teams had played while on flights back home to review. But Rand Carthon often naps.
I didn't realize napping was such a problem.
Coaches don't sleep.
Yeah.
You're supposed to do bath salts and look crazy like Adam Gase at all times.
Definitely the leaving a... I think pro days are largely useless. Like the act of like watching him actually throw the
They're
football.
Overblown for sure.
Yeah, but I think leaving early is a bad look, especially when the quarterback turns out the way he has, right? Like it just the perception of it is not good.
These are flimsy reasons, and this is just, I think, symptomatic of who Amy Adams Strunk is, which is as impulsive as her father was before. In fact, probably more impulsive. I think she's closer to Woody Johnson than Bud Adams.
Yeah, where she's just, if things are not good, she's just gonna bail. And also she seems to have like a guy. Like we went through the timeline where like she was, you know, team Mike Vrabel. So she fired the GM, and then she was team Rand Carthon. So she fired Mike Vrabel. Like it seems like whoever like the new person in the building is gets her ear the most and wins the power struggle. And that's probably how Brian Callahan gets fired after next season.
Yeah.
She'll listen to the new GM.
Yeah. I wonder what GM's going to want to take this job. I think the job continues to look worse and worse by the year. And it's entirely because of the owner. But hey, they got those Houston Oilers uniforms. Congratulations. Congratulations. That's the only thing of value they have. Anyway, there you go. That's the South Side. Texans run that thing. There's a guy on the Texans who some would argue is trying to stop him from running that thing. His name is Bobby Slowick, and he took a lot of the wind out of my sails yesterday, of which there is very little when it comes to Texans and Chargers. On Saturday, you'll hear some of what he had to say next. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle. Because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.